Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Black families have long complained that the government agencies charged with protecting children from abuse and neglect are riddled with racism, and this leaves a legacy of shattered families. The data from many decades shows highly disproportionate rates of Black and Native children being removed from families compared with white and other children. And now, from New York City's own child welfare agency, an internal survey shows that the caseworkers who investigate reports of abuse agree that the system targets Black and brown families and subjects them to higher levels of scrutiny. Let's bring in Jess Danhauser, who is Commissioner for New York City's Administration for Children's Services, or ACS. Commissioner Danhauser, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So there's a lot in this report, but the survey found your agency engages in racist and destructive policies. Do you accept these findings?
The perspectives in the report are deeply important to me. This draft report became known to me a few months into my tenure here, and I have to say that we have a diversity of perspective here at ACS, but where we all come together is that we must pursue with urgency equity for families and safety for children, and we hold those together in the strategies that we're using.
And I want to talk about some of that and what you plan to do. But just to stay on this report, and there's about 100 or so of your staff who were part of this, they mentioned untenably high caseloads, a climate of fear and intimidation, where they can find themselves in front of a quote-unquote firing squad, you know, really saying if they don't meet their metrics, you know, they're in trouble. So that leads to a place where they may be protecting themselves from fear of consequences rather than doing what's right for families. How do you feel about that?
I think it's so important that we get a culture of safety, of psychological safety in this system, right. I absolutely understand that staff have felt historically and even sometimes today that there are too many little things that we ask of them. And we are pushing a culture now where we are saying we are here to support families. We are here for you to give more of your time to see the children and families in front of you and less time to documentation and covering for fear.
Okay. What staff have said and what many families have said for years is that the system particularly targets Black families, treats them different from white families and other families. Do you see places where that is happening in the system that you can directly change?
We have absolutely an agenda to get this right. The first, the most inequitable part of our system, racially inequitable part of our system, are the calls that are coming in. We have to understand how serious it is that it is 6 times more likely for a Black family to be called into our system than a white family. I think it's very important for listeners to understand that we have just retrained 1,800 school liaisons to reframe and retrain around what should get called in, the difference between when a child is in danger versus when a family needs support, and moving to a culture of making sure that we're leaning into the support side of this as much as possible.
And one question that families have on this very specific issue is, why not get a court order before intervening and going into a family's home when someone calls to state a concern about a family?
We have a responsibility codified in state law to make sure that children are safe. It's really important that folks understand that in 50,000 investigations a year, we are removing fewer children than ever to come into care. And it's very important that families understand their rights. And we've started a pilot towards this end, and we're moving in the direction of providing those rights and ACS's responsibilities at the front door.
Commissioner Danhauser, there are many now, a growing chorus, that believe the system can't actually change itself. Staff trainings, external consultants, a lot of these things have been happening over the years, and it's still perpetuated that Black children and Black families have more intervention than others. If I were to talk to you 1 year from now, what will be concretely different?
A year from now, you'll see more families who are receiving a service call rather than an investigation. Our staff can expect support and coaching on the highest risk cases. Families can expect us to get more and more information out to them about their rights and our responsibilities. And we are going to continue to pursue a system that holds safety and equity together.
Jess Danhauser is Commissioner for New York City's Administration for Children's Services. Commissioner Danhauser, thank you.
Thank you.
For a perspective from families in the system, let's bring in Joyce McMillan, a mother, an activist, and the director of JMAC for Families, a nonprofit that supports families in New York's child welfare system. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to see the truth finally coming out.
Yeah.
That report was astonishing.
Tell me what you felt when you first...
My heart flooded. I actually shed some tears because I think for a very long period of time, workers within the agency would not tell the truth. They would not disclose so honestly. And I think people are just really fed up with having to say my only way to have employment is to hurt people or to harm people. And I believe workers, once getting inside and doing the actual job, realize what they were told they would do versus what they are doing is really harmful. And this was their opportunity to disclose it.
Tell us what New York social workers told their own agency in the survey it conducted.
What they told them is that the agency is biased, that they feel forced to force themselves into unsuspecting families' homes to interrogate, search, and possibly separate the family for any minute reason that they find, and that it was all racially motivated.
So can caseworkers stand up and say, I don't want to do these things that are being asked of me?
They can, but not if they want to keep their jobs. And I think that's what it comes down to, that people want to keep their jobs. And it's an unfortunate toggle between humanity and employment. And what I find from speaking to former case managers is that they ultimately had to quit their job, and they contribute the high turnover rate within the agency, ACS, Administration for Children's Services, due to health issues of people who are doing things that's against their internal beliefs, their heart, and their understanding of what it means to treat another human being.
There may be some people wondering, well, what are these things? I wonder if you could just give us an example of something that caseworkers do in their daily job that's expected of them that constitutes targeting Black and other families of color.
Well, if a white family says, I'm not going to let you into the home because my Fourth Amendment right says that I don't have to let you in without a court order, go get one, they say, okay. If a Black family says the same thing, they weaponize the police against the family.
I've also heard things like, you know, part of their job is to check if there's food in the fridge, and if there isn't food or what they constitute to be enough or proper food, that can be directly linked to charges of neglect. And
correct.
You can't refuse that.
The administration comes, they investigate, and they charge.
So you and others have called this bias institutional racism. Now that workers in the system are agreeing, what do you think needs to change? Do you think the system can reform itself?
I do not believe the system can reform itself. My perspective is we don't need to tinker with it, and we should not be thinking about reform, because reform says to me the pain level was at 10, let's bring it down to an 8. We're here to stop the pain, to stop the bleeding, to stop the extractions of children from our community. We're not trying to reduce the numbers of people we harm. We're trying to stop the harm.
If we get rid of the child welfare system, what about children who are in harm's way? What happens to them? How do we protect them? How do you respond to that?
what I say about children who need help because they're in harm's way, we have a better chance at actually helping those children if we stop stopping and frisking families unnecessarily and dragging people into a system where they don't belong. So what we should do is focus on children who actually need help. And right now, out of the 7,000-8,000 children in the system, only about 13% are there for reasons related to abuse. The other things are non-essential, and we should leave families alone and let families do their business.
Joyce McMillan is the director of JMAC for Families, a nonprofit that supports families in New York's child welfare system. Thank you so much, Joyce, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful day.